How are we doing this morning?
Good.
Footy's been good at the moment. Broncos are doing well. Dolphins are doing well. We just got to get the Titans. But Queensland's in good hands, which is good. Recently, I've been encouraged and challenged by... I felt the Lord speaking to me about the simplicity of following Jesus. The simplicity of following Jesus. It's interesting that sometimes we know the right words to say, we can say the right lingo, but the reality is, are we actually following Jesus? Are we actually following, and does our life look anything like the one we're actually following or we claim to be following? Because if you're like me, there's times in life where you go through scenarios and situations and circumstances, and Carol talked about this morning, where there's things that come out of me that's like, hey, I think that looks nothing like God. It's important that we actually stop and reflect and say, hey, does my life actually represent the heart of God? Because the truth is that our lives should actually look like Jesus. I know it's a very basic thought this morning, but if we proclaim to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, it actually means by consequence that there should be some similarities between us and the one we follow. The scary thing is that we can have healthy families, healthy marriages, you can even build a church without actually following Jesus. Well, let's just say we can have a gathering of people without actually following Jesus. Because we can build a group of people around incredible communicators, around incredible music, around incredible things, but what we have to ask ourselves is our lives, is our church, is our people, do we actually represent the heart of the Father? And I've been challenged on this recently. Oftentimes we approach scripture, we approach the gospel, we approach this whole deal of following Jesus. And sometimes we can take bits that fit in with our life and we can exclude other things. Who's done that before? This is what Jesus says in John 15. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. How many know that that's maybe not the scripture you're going to print out and put on your fridge? That's probably not the scripture that you're going to put in a promise box and pull out every morning for encouragement. But the reality is, as followers of Jesus, like Josh talked about last week, there is seasons that we go through of persecution, of suffering, of difficulties. We can't just cherry pick scriptures that fit comfortably in our life. When it comes to the scripture, when it comes to the word of God, we have to embrace the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Recently, I had this thought, and I want to share it this morning. And I felt the Lord challenging and encouraging me that when I am around people, when I engage with people, when I leave, do those people feel that even on a small amount, that they've met with God? Hopefully the answer is yes. But it's a challenging thought to think, hey, when people are around me, What is their dialogue when I leave? Is it that they're actually closer to God? Is it that there is actually a small amount of God in their presence reflected through me? And I encourage you to ask the same question. In your interactions with people, do you reflect the heart of the Father? Now, it's not to say that we're a pushover, and it's also not to say that we lord it over people, but we see that Jesus perfectly demonstrated what it was to have truth and grace. Jesus wasn't afraid to have tough conversations, but he also never separated that from the perfect love of the Father and his love for humanity. We will walk through difficulties. We will walk through circumstances, situations, in the wilderness. But we have a promise that says God will never leave us nor forsake us. How many are thankful for that? How many are thankful that, hey, even in Psalm 23, it says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? It's not because the circumstances are going to be taken away. It's because he is with us. This is incredible, is that we can face anything because he's with us. This is the game changer. Psalm 119 verse 105 says this. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This is a scripture that if you've been in church a while, you would be very familiar with. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, I've actually got some issues with this verse. When I was thinking about this, reading this, I actually have some issues with this verse. Because it says your word is a lamp for my feet. And this is the problem. A lamp is not actually that much light. A lamp is a very small thing. And here it says in this verse, your word is a lamp for my feet. The implication is he's giving us enough light for our feet to take the next step. And this is where I have a problem with this verse, is that I would prefer it to say this. Your word is a spotlight, an incredibly large spotlight that shines from my feet right to the moment that I die. How many would prefer that? Or maybe God could have said, hey, your word, your direction on my life is like the sun, a burning ball of flame that comes up in the morning and there's all darkness and it just shines light on everything. That would be amazing. Or maybe even your word is like lightning in the sky that, how many know in the blackest of darkest nights when that crash of thunder of lightning comes, how many know that it lights up everything? But he doesn't say that. He says, your word is a lamp for my feet. The implication is that this lamp, this direction that he's referring to is for our feet. It's for our next step. Oftentimes we see through scripture and we see through history that the Lord often doesn't roll out the strategic plan for the next 40 years of our life. Or maybe even 4 months. But what he does is he reveals the next step. And here we see that he's given us a lamp to reveal the very next step that he would have us to take. We're going to have a look at a passage of scripture in Joshua chapter 3. If you can turn there, Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 to 8 and then verse 14 to 17. But just some context before we read this morning is that the nation of Israel has been in captivity for 400 years. God raises up a leader called Moses. He leads the people out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. It's all high fives. And then they start on an 11-day journey into the Promised Land. And it actually takes them 40 years. There's three things why I can see that it takes them 40 years, and that's their complaining, their disobedience, and their unbelief. Their complaining, their disobedience, and their unbelief. And just on a side thought here, if you feel like you're going round in circles, that you're not progressing, it's an encouragement this morning to adopt an attitude of gratitude, to stir up our faith, and to obey God. So here we have this group of people. Moses has now died, and Joshua is the new leader. We have a number of people that's somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million people that are camped, have been moving around for 40 years. That whole generation has died. And at this moment, they're about to cross over the Jordan River and step into the promise of God. So we're going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that you may know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. And verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam, while the water flowing down to the sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground when all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Interesting here, we pick up this story where this nation of Israel is stuck between where they are and the promise. And here they have a massive obstacle in their way. We see for 3 days they're camped right on the banks of this river, not able to move forward, stuck, without being able to go into the promise over their lives. couple of weeks ago, we were having a holiday on the beach, and this is probably a good time to put that photo up if you've got it. And I took the kids out for a walk on the beach, and the tide was really low, and so the tide went right out. It was a bit like beach me. You walk a couple of hundred meters. And we were having a great time, and as we were walking along, the kids were looking in these little hollows in the beach, and there was little fish that had been stuck there, little crabs, little creatures of the sea. And we were having such a good time catching little fish, crabs, jellyfish, that we actually lost track of time. And what happened is we had walked right out as far as we could at low tide. How many know that, of course, the tide turned? And as the tide turned, the ocean started to encroach back upon us. And all of a sudden, this massive great white shark... No, I'm kidding. But what happened was that the ocean started actually coming pretty quick. And we were immersed looking at these little fish, catching crabs, that we actually didn't realize how quick the tide was turning. And in a moment, I looked up and I said to Mia and Tom, I said, hey, we better start walking back. And by the time we started walking, that the tide was moving that quick, that there was a bit of a gutter behind us, and literally within a minute we're up to sort of like ankle knee deep water. And that's fine, except if you're 9 years old and you get a little bit fearful. And my daughter, she started looking at the stingrays coming in. She was perched up on this little bit of sand. She started looking at the stingrays, looking at the crabs that were getting out of those little holes and moving all around everywhere, the jellyfish, the rocks, and she froze. And I'm walking towards the shore and I'm yelling, saying, come on, come on, just walk. And she's frozen. She's not walking. And the further I walked away from her, I thought the fear will overcome her and she'll just start running or walking. But she didn't. She stayed there frozen. And so I had my handfuls of shovels and everything else that I was loaded up with. And I went back to get her. And I got back there and she was totally afraid, fearful about what was going on in the ocean. And I thought, I'm going to have to carry her back. But I had all this other gear. And then I said, Mia, can you walk back? And she said, no, I'm afraid I'm going to step on a stingray. I'm afraid I'm going to step on a stonefish, a jellyfish. You know, all this great creativity started flowing through her mind. And then I said to her, well, how about you just step exactly where I step? And she was fearful, but she said, okay. And so as I navigated my way back to the shore, literally, she was that scared that as I pulled this foot out, her foot would go straight into the spot. Because she obviously figured that, hey, I would get stung first, and at least where I walked was safe. And after a few seconds, I looked behind and I saw that she was intently focused on putting her feet into exactly where I was walking. And as we continued to walk to the shore, I was seeing a lot of stingrays. I was seeing a lot of crabs. I was seeing a lot of jellyfish. And I thought that she would become really afraid and scared. And as I looked behind me, I realized that all she was watching was my footsteps. And I thought, hey, this is really good. Like, we're actually making some progress. And then after about another minute, because it's like a couple of hundred meters walk, as I'm navigating around the coffee rock, the oysters, I'm navigating around these. There's also some mangroves with those spikes. I'm navigating through this, and she's not worried about all that. She didn't see the stingrays. She didn't see the sharp oysters. She didn't see anything. The only thing she saw was my footprints. And as we got closer, she started singing and humming a tune. And she was totally oblivious to the danger that was going on around her. Not that it was actually that dangerous. But as we got towards the shore, the Holy Spirit said to me, "This is how I want to lead you." And in that moment, I realized that the lesson wasn't for me at all. It was actually for me. You see, it is actually possible to journey with God to such an extent that He gives us grace, the things that are around us that want to come and destroy us, affect us, that we actually become unaware of it because we're covered in His grace and we're just following the next step that He has for us. 2 days later, we're back here on a Sunday morning and Carol gets up and preaches and puts up this photo of the steps. How many remember that? About the next step. And I was like, "Hey, Lord, I'm pretty sure you're speaking to me." The simplicity of following Jesus is this. It's just, what is the next step? Where is He leading us? I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. We want a spotlight that's going to shine from our feet all the way for the next 10 years. And we're concerned with all the possibilities that may come around us where He's saying, "Hey, this is what I've called you to do. For you to get through this, navigate through this season of your life, you can only do one thing, and that's just follow me step by step." We see this in this passage where the group of Israelites are here and they're hard up against the Jordan River. Nowhere to go. And what does Joshua say? He says, "Follow the priests because we've never gone this way before." What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? It represents the presence of God, God Himself. He said, "Hey, follow God in this season because we've never been here before." How many this morning feel like they're stepping into a new season that they've never been this way before? Heaps of people. And this is what I feel the Lord is saying to encourage us, is that, hey, just take the next step. Just follow Him. Because He is the perfect Father who's going to lead us to navigate us successfully in this season. Maybe in your family right now, you're dealing with stuff that you've never dealt with before. Maybe right now in your family with your kids, with the schooling, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden there's relational issues, there's stuff, there's chaos in your family's life where it's like, hey, we've not been this way before. I want to encourage you this morning. Look where God is leading you. Not 10 years in advance. Sometimes we can be worried about, hey, where our kids are going to go to university or college and how we're going to raise the funds, and they're like 2 years old. But let's just follow the next thing that He has for us. We see this is what the Israelites did as they followed the instructions by the Lord. They followed the Lord. They followed the priests into the river. The final thought on this passage of scripture is that they took a step of faith. They took a step of faith. Following God is going to take a step of faith. We see here with the Israelites that Joshua told the priests to step into the river. they didn't have the benefit of hindsight to know that the Lord was going to dam the river and stop it. We know that after reading the text, but they had no clue. God didn't actually reveal the whole plan to Joshua. He just said, hey, would you obey me? And they stepped into the river. The town of Adam referred to here was 20 miles upstream. How many know that the moment it says, the Bible says, the moment that the priest's foot hit the river, the Lord stopped the flow 20 miles upstream. What that means is there was a period of time when they didn't think anything was happening. When they're in the middle of a flooded river, and they're probably looking back to Joshua saying, was this the plan? Why couldn't God stop the water right where they were crossing? I don't know. I don't know a lot of things about God and how he works. But the point is, there was a moment in time where they had to trust God. They had to trust God. They had to step out into the river until it dried up. What is the Lord saying to you in this season? Where is he calling you to step? The thing is that if you're a follower of Jesus, there's always forward momentum. There's always meant to be a movement forward. And so oftentimes the Lord reveals that to us with one step at a time. But we actually have to be obedient to take that step. To take that step of faith. You imagine if the Israelites would have said, well, we're just going to wait here until the river stops and then we'll step out. They would still be there to this day. And many people would blame God and say, well, it's God's fault. If he wanted us to cross this river, he should have provided a way. Maybe like he did with the Red Sea, because that's what they were expecting. But what he said is, we haven't gone this way before. And it's going to require faith. This morning, I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, what has the Lord asked you to do? What step has he asked you to take? Maybe the step is to get a job. But maybe that same step is to quit that job for a different person. The thing is, it's actually about our relationship with him so that we know what to do and what the next step is. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Just before we finish up, this morning, if you're here and the initial step is to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, hey, I've never actually taken that first step of surrender, which is surrendering my life to this perfect Father. If that's you this morning, I want to include you in a prayer. It's a prayer of salvation, a prayer of saying yes to God. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand just so I can see it and put it back down? Maybe you've made this decision before, but today you're like, hey, I want to say yes to him. Is there anyone here this morning? Just as I look around. Anyone this morning? Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Anyone this morning that wants to say yes to Jesus? Maybe you've never taken this initial step to surrender your life to him and allow him to take control. If that's you this morning, just one more time. There's a couple of people this morning that want to make that decision for God. Anybody else? There's two people this morning that have said, hey, they're courageous enough to say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want forgiveness of my sins. So why don't we pray this prayer together? Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking the penalty of my sin. And today, of my own free will, I choose you. And from this day on, I want to live the rest of my life for you. Amen. Why don't we celebrate those decisions? And as we go today, I just want to encourage you to let's be people that we just have a resounding yes even before that lamp is shone on the next step. Let's be people that are ready for where God is leading us. And as soon as he says something, we're obedient to what he says. Amen. Thank you.